Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, listeners. Before we get going today, I want to tell you that we've teamed up with Honest Brew, which I really think is brilliant. Jamie, after a hard day's work, what's the thing you want more than anything else, apart from seeing your fiancé and child, obviously?
Probably a cold beer.
Me too. And what beer do you like?
I don't know, like craft beers mainly, like Beaver Town, Mean Time, Five Points, that kind of thing.
Yep, those are great. I personally like to rep the South London beers, so I drink a lot from Brixton and Gypsy Hill.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure how easy it is to get those beers at my local shop.
Aha! Well, that's where Honest Brew comes in. Honest Brew delivers beer from the best independent craft breweries right to your door. So no more schlepping back and forth to the nearest hipster off license.
You've just described a situation where I never have to leave the house. Where do I sign up?
Just head to their online shop. There you can pick and mix your own selection of beers, purchase a gift, or get your hands on one of their curated mixed cases. And remember, Honest Brew's craft beer experts taste test every beer listed, so they're all good. And the good news for Good Dad Ugly listeners is that you can get £10 off your first order with the code FATHERHOOD.
Cheers!
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the Fatherhood podcast. I'm Seth, a new dad, and on each episode you'll hear me and my good pal Jamie,
hello,
who's also a new dad, as we chat with our special guest each month about everything that comes with modern day fatherhood. Along the way, you'll also get the latest highs and lows and thrills and spills as Jamie and I foray further into these unfamiliar, joyful and often choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Choppy waters. Choppy waters. Choppy waters.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly. This is Seth and I'm here with Jay. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing? Is it not episode 13? No, it is episode 14.
14, yeah. 13 was the best of episode.
Yeah, I Instagrammed before you guys arrived saying we're recording episode 13 tonight. So that might be quite confusing.
They're going to be so confused, yeah. Those three people.
It's true, my mum will not know what's going on.
It feels like it's been, like we've got loads to catch up on, doesn't
Should
it?
Should we say this is series two? Because I feel like we took a break and a lot of people who do that kind of say this is series two. But I think we should just roll it like, continue. We just took a sort of a New Year break and Now we're back.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, because otherwise it's like we're just sort of dividing our lives up into series then.
Yeah, a bit like you do with kids when you kind of divide them up into the monthly.
True, yeah, I suppose so. So because Eliza's now over one, it's like she's now in series two.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry, you were saying what have you been up to?
Well,
it's been a while since you've seen each other.
Yeah, so there's like, although it hasn't in the grand scheme of things, it hasn't really been that long. But you know when if you're like a parent,
yeah,
you end up kind of seeing all these kind of micro changes that happen in your child.
Yeah.
And so it feels like loads has happened.
Yeah.
But actually, for like anyone looking from outside,
not much has happened.
Not really.
Yeah. Same.
But yeah. So she's got like more teeth.
Yeah. Well done.
More words.
Yeah. So what's her latest addition?
So so she's actually got to the stage now where she understands a few words and uses them in the right way. So she'll say up if she wants to be picked up.
Okay.
And the other one that she does quite a lot is she says no if you've given her, which is relevant to today.
Yeah.
If you're offering her too much food, she'll say no.
Okay.
And throw stuff on the floor.
Oh, good. Okay. I still do that, to be fair.
Do you?
In restaurants, yeah. If they give me too much food.
Only in posh restaurants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the other hilarious thing that she does when she does this, and I think she's got this from the childminder that we sent her to, she like wags her finger as she says no, like that. Exactly. And we were like trying to work out where she got this from. And we realised it must be because when she's at the childminder and she's like throwing her food on the floor, the childminder's like, no, don't do that.
It could be worse. She could be like giving you the finger or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, Matilda's not saying anything. She's 8 months, so she doesn't say it. She says she's saying dada, but she doesn't know what it means.
Yeah.
So I'm not counting it. Although I do count it to get one up on that. Because I'm like, I win. Because she's saying dada before she's saying mama.
But have you looked into like the way that like words sort of first develop?
No.
Because the easiest thing to say is dada.
Oh, is it really?
Which is why it's the name for dad. That's basically the patriarchy in full effect.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and then mama is like slightly less easy to say, and that's why it's like mum.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Okay.
So that's why if you look around the world, in most languages, like dad is like...
With a D.
Yeah, something along those lines. It gets even better where they actually sort of say it and they know what they're saying.
Well, that's it. There's that sure. Jack D sketch where he says...
It's a golden moment. How you be holding your child, how they look you in the eye for the very first time. And they go, Daddy. What a moment. What a moment that is. And the cat walks in. Daddy. Daddy, no. No, table, cat, daddy. Me, daddy. No, no, stop saying it till you know what the fuck you're talking about, all right?
Eliza does do that. She'll say, when I get home from work, she'll be like, dada, dada, dada. And I'll be like, that's so sweet. And then I'll be like, and who's that over there? She'll be like, dada, to Alice. So I'm like, yeah, this is...
Doesn't count.
Very confused.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we should move on then.
Let's move on. Let's move on and introduce the guest.
Yeah, do it.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
We're absolutely delighted to be joined by Tom Redwood, the renowned chef and founder of the revolutionary vegetable-led baby food company Babies, as in Babies. Welcome, Tom.
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. It's fascinating to hear the last month of you guys. I mean... Wow.
Well, I should have said, actually, it's probably been even crazier for you because you're the father of an 8-week-old, is that?
I am indeed, yes. Born just before Christmas, due Christmas Eve. There was part of me that was kind of hoping that it was going to be Christmas Eve because I thought it'd be kind of fun, you know, to have it. Everyone's always happy,
yeah.
You know, always got time off work or school.
It's
not Christmas Day. Yeah. But he decided to come early. It's been a journey.
What's the name of your son?
Alexandros.
Alexandros.
Or Alex. Or Al.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Alekos. Or, yeah. Joanna, my partner, she's Greek. So we've got the Greek influence going on there.
So you're doing the dual sort of... Yeah. A lot of people do that, don't they?
Yeah, we've gone for Greek, British.
In what sense?
So Alexandros, James, Vakula, Redwood. Like it really, wow. Oh, yeah, it's a good name.
That's a strong name. I would say that British.
Yeah.
It's a strong name.
It's a strong name.
Yeah. And the biggest challenge so far?
I would have to say breastfeeding. It doesn't all go according to plan. And we've had everything, you know, from tongue tie twice.
Oh, really?
We've had two operations.
Oh, wow.
To not feeding at all, to not gaining weight, to then gaining loads of weight. We've also just been through a cold, which I think is weirdly quite cute because their cough is just adorable.
Yeah.
Until you realize that it's actually probably not quite nice and they're, you know, but it is still very, very cute.
Everything they do is cute.
It is, yeah.
Even the shits.
Even that first meconia, is it meconia or something?
No, the black one. Yeah, the Marmite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone tells you about it, but you're never quite prepared.
I was very proud, you know. It happened within 8 hours and I was like, oh, I am a dad now. now the yellow one's more like dull. I tend to kind of refer most of the poos, I would kind of connect them to food.
Right.
Funnily enough.
Yeah. So, Tom, you obviously a chef, but you kind of like moved away from working in a restaurant into private chefing. Right?
Yeah, it was kind of a natural progression. I kind of got a bit tired of the robotness of restaurants. You know, the kind of a check comes down and you have that terrifying clink of the check, you know, hitting the tube or the...
Yeah.
And you just become a robot, you know, check on, you know, and you just come into this. And I didn't have the... I was starting to lose passion for it a little
bit.
Yeah. And so I wanted to become an architect. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to have a complete change of career. But I did a round the world trip, kind of did my gap year at age 21 after nearly 5 years in restaurants. So I was already done quite a lot of cooking. And as part of that gap year, I did a ski season.
Okay.
And I was just introduced to a whole new world of cooking that I never even thought of. You know, when I was in control of the whole menu from start to finish, and I'd cook for as little as a couple and their maybe two kids.
Right.
Sometimes even baby food. Or maybe up to eight adults and maybe three or four kids. And, you know, it was like having a dinner party every night. And again, looping back to the psychology of food, I learned very quickly that if I spoke to the guests about the food that I was cooking, you know, where the ingredients came from, how I cooked it, why I chose to pair it with maybe some ice wine or something, you know, why the sweetness of the grape really enhanced the richness or whatever it was. Yeah. I noticed that the way that the guests responded to how they enjoyed it was tenfold. And so I just discovered a new way of cooking, and it totally reignited my love that was has always been there. And yeah, so becoming a private chef was
so
a natural progression.
Private chef was for kind of like fancy... Fancy
pants.
Dance.
Fancy pants.
yeah, I mean, I worked in the music biz for a very short period.
Right.
I was the chef for Simple Minds.
Nice.
Yeah, name drop.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, no, so I was...
How long were you doing that?
So I did a tour with them, a European tour.
Yeah.
And so I did all of their rehearsal studio time where I was primarily employed for Jim because he wanted to get fit and eat healthy food and... And so they liked my food, so they invited me on the tour, and I was like, why not? Let's give this a go. I'm young. It was an amazing experience, exactly like you would think it would be from the movies, you know, living on the tour bus, you know, getting 2 hours sleep every night.
Debauched.
Yeah, it was pretty...
Did you get involved in the debauchery?
Is
it hard not to?
There's a lot of things going on around you.
Tell us some stories.
you know, I mean, we went everywhere from Bosnia, Serbia, Croatia, Macedonia, Poland, Finland. You know, we went everywhere. I mean, it was such a good time. So I did that. And then I also cooked the odd meal for, I did a very short tour for Craig David.
Do any of these people have any like weird, actually you probably can't say, but
no, you
like,
can't say
no. So Jim was all about health, so lots of Asian, lots of Japanese style.
Right.
Craig David likes things that were convenient to eat.
Right. Okay.
So lots of things that you could pick up with your hands.
Right.
He's a very busy man, but I have to say I found it difficult to not hear the bowl selector in my head. That Craig David would like a pint of lager. It was, you know, I'm of that generation.
So tell us about your company, Babies.
Well, since I left school, I didn't really know what to do. I wasn't very good at anything apart from art. And a bit of music. And
yeah.
So it's kind of a bit of
where,
a catch.
Where did you go to? Where are you from?
Brighton.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is where Tom, the producer, and I went to university. And Benji, of course.
Yeah. It's quite a university.
In fact, we had a conversation before we got started in which it sort of transpired that you worked at a restaurant.
There's
a
good chance I've cooked for you guys.
Yeah. Which is just blows my mind.
Yeah. Especially as you guys liked it, so I'm going to definitely claim that one. So that was the first restaurant that I took seriously, a place called Terre à Terre. The first day I walked into that kitchen, have you seen Ratatouille?
Yeah.
You know that moment when he eats something and he goes off into this transformative world where he pitches strawberries and balsamic vinegar and pieces of cheese. Whenever I have a food moment, that's kind of what I picture. That's kind of the food moment. And Terra Terra was like that, like the smell from the fridge, the herbs like that just wafted out of you was amazing.
Because it's a vegetarian restaurant.
It is a vegetarian restaurant, yeah. And I was vegetarian still then. I'm not a veggie anymore.
Oh, why not?
It was actually Terra Terra that turned me.
Because this isn't a great
had
endorsement.
Enough of vegetables after
well,
a while.
It was a real foodie restaurant. Like not one of the chefs was vegetarian apart from the owners, but the chefs themselves weren't. And I was a proper food geek, and I worked every shift that they asked me to do. I was doing doubles, and to thank me for all my hard work, the restaurant offered to take me out for dinner, but the head chef said there's one condition, that you have to try meat. And I was like, yeah, I'm game. So I picked a restaurant in London and came up here, and I had scallops was the first thing that I tried.
Wow.
Which actually, sorry to link back to baby food, it's kind of almost like a baby food experience in a way.
Yeah.
Because it's trying something for the first time, which is quite rare.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've never had that connection before. And then I had duck with mashed potato that had confit garlic in it. And I was converted. I mean, I've been on a whole food journey now. So I went massively, trying to make up for all the meat.
McDonald's every day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe by the look of me, yeah. But yeah, and then I went back to vegan, and then kind of like weekday vegan. And then I'm in a kind of a place now where I try at least to eat as healthy as I can and just eat a lot more vegetables and plant-based proteins for a good 3-4 days of the week. I've always been fascinated by psychology and food. One of the things that's really driven me from a very, very young age, and I think it's kind of a bit of the chef in me, you know, the arrogance that you can make anyone like something. But I've always been fascinated by fussy eaters. Like, for instance, tomatoes. I mean, how many people do we all know in this room who say they don't like tomatoes?
Yeah, that's true.
But then you go, oh, but I bet you like pizza. And they go, oh, well, yeah, of course I like pizza. And I bet you like bolognese. And they go, well, yeah, of course I like bolognese, but I don't like tomatoes. Yeah. It's like, well, actually you do. Mm. It's just that you've got this whole psychological...
What people don't like are those kind of horrible plasticky tomatoes that are grown in kind of massive, like...
What polytunnels. Called,
yeah, polytunnels in
I haven't seen any sunlight. And
do you think it stems from childhood? Or do you think it's just a...
Well, I'm one of five, and I definitely, out of all of my brothers and sisters, was stubbornly different. When my dad had a beer and I dipped my finger in the foam, my brothers and sisters would do it, and they go, ugh, horrible. And I'd do it, and I go, oh, it's quite nice, actually. But I didn't like it, but I just said I liked it. So that, because, you know, when there's five of you, you have to, you know, really try to stand out from the crowd.
You do it, and it's also kind of a showing off thing, isn't it, as well? I remember that... My parents tell the story of I once was very young, and I was showing off, and I wanted, in an Italian restaurant, I wanted Parmesan put onto my chocolate ice cream. Like, I demanded it.
Yeah.
And I was showing, like, I had cousins there and everything.
Yeah, and you know, I love this. This
and
is
my friends were like, fine.
Yeah.
But then you got to finish it.
No problem. Okay.
And I finished it.
Yeah.
And But I still have it to this day.
Well, there is a thing that salt makes bitter less bitter.
Right, okay.
So maybe if you got the right level of Parmesan, you might have actually nailed it.
There we
and
go.
It's also natural umami, so you kind of got that. So you're probably...
I was onto
Heston,
something.
You know. Yeah.
Shit, I hope Heston's not listening. He steals this.
Well, Tom might steal it for his baby.
Yeah, do you know what? If I was allowed my phone on, I'd have that down there now.
There's this whole thing of, like, things such as, let's say, coriander, which... Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they reckon
it tastes
actually
like cilantro.
Soap.
That's what some people say.
But I get that.
Yeah, it tastes like perfume.
I get that. I do get it. Because it can, like, it is a very perfumey herb.
Yeah.
But what's amazing, even with coriander, like if you go to Portugal, for example, they use it completely different to us. You know, they'll chop it up and put it in a tomato and fish stew. And when you can't, and they put loads of it in there.
Yeah.
But then when you eat it, it doesn't taste like the coriander. So, like, it's amazing how kind of flavors can also change depending on where you are, how they're used, how you're also perceiving it. And we certainly are influenced by the foods that we eat all of our lives, you know, from childhood. Like, whose lasagna is the best?
My mum's.
Yeah. Yeah. Your mum's, my mum's, like, but they can't all be the best.
Mine's better than my mum's, but.
There's always an exception.
Okay, well, that's the end of part one. Back after this.
Hold up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Going back to the fussy bit, so is that kind of what inspired
No, it was more when, so when I hit about 30, lots of my friends started having kids. My sister and my brothers, they both started popping them out. And I was seeing one of my friends feeding their kids a very well-known pouch. I was curious as a chef, you know, I was like, do you mind if I have a taste? You know, stuck my finger in it. And I was like, oh my God, this is disgusting. Like, have you guys tasted this? And their answer to me just baffled me.
Right.
Yeah, I know, it's baby food. Like that they accepted that it didn't taste nice. I mean, the amount of parents that I've spoken to, and they haven't even tasted the baby food because they're too scared it tastes bad.
Jamie's in that camp, I think.
But isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It is
that,
weird.
That we don't think that the food that we feed our kids should taste good.
But it just looks...
And so I was like, damn, that guys, you can't give them this. Like, you know, I started linking up that fussy eating, you know, the food you're eating, eat right early on affect your... And the more I kind of got into that world and speaking to my friends, the more I realized that, you know... Actually, the food we do eat does shape our palates. Yeah. And if the food that we eat is the food, if you're, eat mostly commercial made baby food and you don't experience the taste of broccoli and you don't experience the kind of cabbagey taste of cauliflower, then you're not being exposed to the whole plethora of the whole wide world of food. Mm. If you only eat commercial baby food, In the early days in stage one, is predominantly sweet.
Mm.
It's fruit-based. And the fact that it was even titled a vegetable just made me even more furious, you know, that if this was any other industry, like if this was a healthy smoothie for an adult and we were sold it as being broccoli with a bit of pear and then some pea.
Yeah.
And then when we looked on the back at 79% pear, we'd be outraged. Mm. Like that product would not survive. You know, the fact that...
So why is it? Why does it in baby food? Why are they allowed to...
I mean, there's a whole load of reasons that you hear other brands talking about why they do it. And, you know, there's this whole link that breast milk is sweet, so is formula. So therefore, you have to give your baby something sweet.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, I'm no scientist, but if you do look at some of the research out there, there's this thing called a flavor window where your baby's the most receptive to flavor in the first 12 months than they'll ever be for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Okay. The most receptive. And so actually, it's easy to get a child to eat or a baby to eat an apple pouch or a vegetable pouch heavily flavored with apple or pear. It's easy to get them to eat it, but it's not necessarily difficult if you start off on the right foot with giving them a more savory vegetable flavor, especially if you realize that you're not giving them a complete meal. So there's no pressure on the parent that they have to eat a whole pouch.
Yeah.
You know, the first 3-4 months, it's about learning and engaging with food and textures. I mean, it's quite weird, right? Imagine if you go from eating this delicious sweet milk that does change if it's breast milk, actually, with flavor with the food that the mum eats, but that's another subject. You then go into this world where it's a bit thicker.
Mm.
You know, you have to start moving it around your mouth and kind of, it's quite a...
I'm going to be a bit cynical here.
Okay, guys, yes.
Which is unlike me.
I was going to say.
Because I suspect that the reason why those baby companies... you know, kind of load it with pear and things like that. It's obviously because, like, parents are a great market for, like, baby companies. And the key thing, if you're a brand, is you want to make sure that the first experience with that product is goes down well. So if you buy a pouch for your baby and they don't like it, you might be like, won't buy that one again.
Yeah.
Mm. So you're actually, they're not really thinking about the babies, well, they're thinking about the bottom line.
I think, well, obviously,
about that, cynical.
Obviously they're commercial and they will be thinking like that. But I also think times have changed. I mean, if you think back to the smoothie, nowadays we don't even think necessarily as drinking a smoothie is as healthy as we once thought it was. So maybe putting fruit in a vegetable product wasn't considered bad. I just think in today's society, with the knowledge that we now have, that we should be starting off with more vegetables and at least trying to stick with as much of the savory tastes while you can at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then introduce the fruit kind of as you go. You don't necessarily need to give an apple pouch. You could sometimes just peel an apple if you're at home and give them an apple to suck on, or a banana, let them mash it in their hand. So I think it's a combination of educating parents to know that, you know, so you can make informed decisions, because the amount of parents that I've spoken to on this journey who don't actually know that there's fruit in these products, or at least as much fruit as there is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's even ones that are titled without any fruit in the title. I won't say the names because you're...
I think we all know.
Yeah. And then when you turn the pouch over, it's, you know, 70% fruit, and it's just... That shouldn't be allowed.
That's crazy. I had this chat with Nat the other day. Like I was saying, you know, you're coming on. And I was saying, because there's no, like, you know, it's low in sugar and no fruit. And Nat was saying, the one that we use, she was like, yeah, but sometimes there's no, we get like the pea and broccoli and mm-hmm. carrot one. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, why is yours different? And I guess that's, I was going to ask you that. Yeah. And I guess that's kind of answered.
Well, we've got a couple of things that makes ours different. Obviously, it's been designed by a chef, so it's definitely flavor led, because we think it's really important. So for instance, one of our best selling stage twos is a Kerala curry, and it was inspired from my trips around Kerala.
Yeah.
Another one of our best ones is a Thai curry.
Okay.
You know, and so
minus the chili, I take it.
It is minus the chili, yeah. But it's got kaffir lime leaves in it, it's got lemongrass, it's got ginger, it's got garlic.
I need to get involved with these. These sound delicious.
Yeah,
and
we're talking about
and the lime leaf, for instance, we grow in the UK because it's the only way to get fresh lime leaves, and so it's got that whole kind of chefy thing about it where you don't really care where the ingredients come from.
Are you sort of like with your ingredients? Is it sort of local businesses or local?
Where we can, I mean, you're quite restricted with regulations about levels of things, quite rightly. And so there's a whole list of things that you need to comply with. But we do work with British farmers where we can. And we're also made in our own factory. So we own the factory that we're made in, which is quite rare.
Yeah.
Other things that we do that's different. So we never dilute. So we never add either fruit or water. And then later on, we're the only brand potentially in the world, definitely in Europe, that have built in our own guidelines that are super strict. So for instance, we're the only brand that guarantees 65 calories or more in a stage two onwards, which is considered a complete meal.
Right.
And that's because breast and formula milk both have about 65 calories in.
Right, okay.
And so if you drop below 65 calories, then you're not giving the same calories of what the breast and formula milk we're giving.
Right, yeah.
The average calorie content in commercial baby food is around 48.
Okay.
It drops as low as 35.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's a lamb product on the market that is 35 calories, which is mad.
Mm.
You know, that's diet food. You know, you wouldn't want to give your kid diet food. And it's because the first ingredient's stock. And a few, I don't want to give all the secrets away, but you know, and
then. It's down, Seth. We're coming up with our own one. Baby diet food.
And so,
chunky baby.
And so ours is thicker. I mean, I've got some products for you to have a look at, and you can see ours is thicker.
Yeah.
And it's because we don't dilute it. We want to give you the bet. We want to make it as close to what you make at home. You wouldn't kind of make a product and then all of a sudden go, do you know what? I'm going to stick 50% water in that. You just wouldn't.
Well, do you know what?
Actually? That's a soup.
Yeah. Well, I make the majority of food that Matilda
well
has.
Done.
Like we have, I mean,
what do you make? What's your kind of?
I like to cook a lot, but I'm a massive stickler for a recipe.
Yeah.
Like I do not. And
same as me.
I'll be like, what is half a cup? I need to know exactly. And now I'll be like, it's about that. I'm like, I don't want a barrel. Yeah. I need to know what half a cup. You know, it's that kind of thing. So you're asking me what I make. I make loads of stuff. Like cod and broccoli with some cheese.
Nice.
And, sweet, and potatoes.
Yummy.
And then some like pea and chicken purees.
Did any of them have one, which is like, did any of them have 50% water added at the end?
Well, funny, some of them do have stock and some of them yeah. do have a bit of water. But then when you put it in the food processor, I'm always looking at going, that's too thick.
Yeah.
And because I'm used to what kind of the stuff that
the brands
come
yeah.
out of pouches, that yeah. I kind of start adding more water because I'm worried that it's too thick. But then I guess it's...
Yeah.
This is when I see, when well, I go off recipe, yeah. I start freaking out.
Well, if you think about baby-led weaning, I mean, they eat exactly what we're eating, you yeah. know. I mean, I think you just kind of got to trust your instinct and give
well,
it a go.
You say that, but we did it. We were like, okay, we're going to do a roast, like a roast chicken on Sunday. And we'll yeah. do it. And let's save a bit of that behind. We hear that's a good thing to mm-hmm. do, save a bit of everything and then blend it all up. And then she has like a roast chicken thing. The mistake we made is I cooked everything. I roasted all the potatoes, all the carrots in like a ton of oil and mm-hmm. salt and everything. And then I kind of went, right, I'll save a potato here, save a carrot there. And I blended it all up and it just looked, I mean, it looked, I still gave it to her because I thought, well... What's the worst that can happen? She didn't like it. It's the one thing I've made or anything that we've been in that she just hasn't liked
right.
was my roast dinner, which is fair enough. It was really
oily
and salty. And
yeah.
So I think the next time...
But they like salt though, don't they?
Is that right?
It's sweet and salt things at
oh,
first.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If you're cooking at home, you can put it... There's not many meals that you would make yourself that can't either be...
well, after you've done all the salt and
no, you just have to be really thoughtful with seasonings. So salt is a no. I mean, ideally, don't add any at all because there's actually natural salt in the vegetables from the soil that they're grown in. But on the whole, just be a bit sensible. Don't you can use spices, but don't make it so it's spicy. You know, use cumin, use coriander, use paprika, use fennel seeds, use herbs. You know, there's not many meals. I mean, give me a meal. For example, something that you would make at home.
Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie, see, perfect. Right. I mean, you don't even need to mince that,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, that was an easy
yeah,
one.
Yeah, go on.
Steak doesn't really work.
No, steak's not a great one. Although if you're doing baby-led weaning, you could cut them a piece to suck on. I mean, they're not going to get through much of it. But, you know, on the whole, spaghetti bolognese, shepherd's pie, stews, pieces of grilled sea bass. You know, you don't really have to do much to make it baby-friendly.
Even though I make all this, I can't eat it. I've never...
Yeah, you're so weird.
What is it? Is it just because you got that whole thing of baby food going on?
I don't know. It's the puree. Like, I'm fine when I'm making it. I'm like, oh, that looks, smells really good. And I see everything that goes into it. I'm like, I'd eat all of that. No problem. Put it in a blender, mash it up. It goes, and I'm like, I can't go near that.
But what about if you go to one of the fancy restaurants you're talking about? There's always a smear on the plate or a smudge or a splash.
Yeah,
or...
that's true. I don't know what it is. It's just a lot of stuff going into...
See, it's the whole psychology of food again.
I'm the complete opposite. Like, every time we get, like, a new pouch or something like that for Eliza, I'm like, I want to try some of that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'll say to Alice, don't let her finish it. I want to try it.
Save a spoon for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And is it good?
Well, some of them are, like, tastier than others. But, yeah, no, they're yeah. No, but then I'm happy that, like, what I'm giving her is something that I would theoretically eat myself.
I mean, it should taste like real food at the end of the day.
I guess we should talk about when you know that it's the right time for your baby to start. Weaning, is that the right term?
Well, yes and no. Everyone knows what weaning is, although actually everyone knows that it means...
What it means.
Yeah, food. But actually, the government now has... You started to use it less because of the whole breastfeeding, trying to encourage
people off.
Yeah, because as soon as you say weaning, you're thinking that you're moving away from something.
Right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
actually, the first few months of weaning, you're not weaning at all. The first few months, you're just introducing food.
Yeah.
So they've got a new phrase that's a bit of a mouthful. It's called complementary feeding. But actually, if you really stop and pause for a moment, complementary feeding is exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you're continuing with breast or formula feeding, but what you're doing is you're introducing different textures, different flavors. So it's not necessarily about how much they eat, especially in the first month. Depending what age you start as well, because it's a bit controversial when you should start. And I think, again, it's because it's such a grey area. There's not one exact, like, there's not an alarm bell that goes, tring! You know, your baby is now 6 months, it's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Or likewise, you know, at 4 months, you know, there's not a ring, your baby's ready to wean.
There should be.
We should invent that. Yeah. It's about when the baby's physically ready, you know. Yeah. Okay.
Because what are the signs for that? Like, how would you know?
So supporting their weight, sitting upright, engaging in what you eating, so being really interested in what you're eating, being able to have eye-to-hand coordination, which is why finger foods are a really good way to start them off, actually, but because you're not really giving them a lot of food to eat, not much. I don't know. One of you tried baby-led weaning, I believe.
Yeah, I've tried it.
Yeah. So
you end up with a lot of stuff
on the floor.
On the floor. Just
yeah.
So what's just for what? What's the difference between baby-led weaning and normal, as it were, in inverted commas, weaning?
So baby-led weaning is when you let the baby lead, you know, how much it eats.
So you just put
put the food in front of
them. You don't spoon feed the baby.
No, yeah, basically.
If you
did that.
Yeah.
And if you go really hardcore, you don't even hand them the spoon. You really put it in front of them and they put their hands in it. And
what's the benefits of that over the other?
It's supposed to be good for the whole psychology around food because they build up a good relationship around food. Mm. It's supposed to be better for, or at least encourages speech because they use their jaws more, they chew more. I'm probably going to do baby-led weaning, but with pouches and or pouches for convenience, obviously, and a bit of homemade when we've got time, because I'm a bit of a realist that the modern society that we live in, you know, I'm here tonight, for instance, and I've got a baby at home. So, you know, you've got to be a bit realistic about it. I mean, I'm no expert when it comes to baby-led weaning. So, you know, that's going to be something that I'm going to be getting the books out myself.
Right, yeah.
But it's really frustrating for a long time. I mean, I'm sure, you know, people's experiences differ, but like Eliza it was like, you know, one step forward, two step back.
Yeah.
Back, it felt like a lot of the time.
So did you quit that? Or you?
No, we carried on doing it, but we did get, we would supplement it with other stuff. So we would like try pouches and stuff like that to make sure she was getting some food. But she was really, as I've spoken about before, she's still like quite a small baby. So whenever we went to see the health visitor, they were always trying to sort of encourage us to, you know, give her more food, essentially, like force her to have more food. But I never really sat well for me, that. And I'm glad that we didn't really sort of push it. Because
force feeding's never...
No, it's not good.
I mean, I just think that you got to do what fits within and what works well for your family.
So you've got what are the stages that you offer? Do you do all the, so what are the stages? 1, 2, I should know this.
Yeah.
I should definitely
know.
My remit, like at home, like, you know, the whole mental load thing that we were talking about a few weeks ago. That's my
lots of the brands actually moved away from stages. And I think it's because it then meant that they could have a bigger range because they could do 4 months, 6 months, 7 months, 10 months, 12 months, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. There's this big pressure that parents feel. They think, oh, my baby's 7 months, but they're rejecting all texture.
Mm.
Well, maybe your baby's not quite ready, you know. Mm. And so we thought that by trying to being a bit more parent-friendly, by introducing stages again, because we moved away from stages for a while, so we're now going back to stages. There's a lot of evidence now that babies that eat commercial baby food aren't learning to chew because you keep them on sucking purees out of a pouch for too long. And so as a brand, we really encourage spoon feeding as much as possible. You know, if you eat directly from the pouch, you don't actually get the smell of the food.
Yeah.
So actually emptying it into a bowl and serving it like a meal is really important if you can. There's no difference in the pouch recipe for a stage three. It's just a textual thing.
Right.
So as soon as your baby's kind of like moving food around their mouth, maybe you're using a combination of baby-led weaning and pouches, and so they're already used to big chunks of broccoli and carrot sticks, et cetera, et cetera. You'll actually be ready for stage three earlier than 10 months, which is what the industry is.
So how does that work? How is it chunky then if it's in a pouch?
So stage three is in tear tops.
There we go.
But then we actually achieve quite a lot of texture in our in the nozzle as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've got an MPD. I probably shouldn't say it, but we got a pasta bolognese kind of style,
yeah.
Coming out, and it's got big pieces of spaghetti in it, you know, good kind of few centimeters long. It's got texture from the beef in there.
Nice.
I'd definitely try that. Yeah,
that's
well,
what I would try.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I do actually have some with me, but
amazing! I
want to try. Oh, no, I've so changed my mind.
We're going to get to try them.
Well, if you want, yeah. I mean,
I want it
definitely.
I want to be involved. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, baby. Right, so we're doing the experiment now. We've got a number of
five paper bowls.
There should have been more, I have to be honest with you. Leaving the office in a rush, we brought the wrong product for you guys to try.
Oh.
So this isn't going to be...
There's no bolognese.
There's no bolognese, I'm really sorry. But what we got here is, we've got some... these are all marketed as vegetable products.
Right.
Okay.
And so they're different brands.
They're different brands.
Yeah, okay.
And they're all considered premium. I haven't gone out and picked the cheapest on the market.
Okay.
They're all kind of right up there with the premium brands.
Yeah.
So if you start...
So I start with this one.
Yeah.
See, immediately the texture of this one is quite...
Gloopy.
Quite watery. That is quite fruity. What does that taste of? I'm gonna have some more. Hang on.
Now he's got into it.
Look, that's like, oh, I think I know what that is. That's really sweet.
Is as a parent, you feel great because you're giving your kids vegetables. But are you tasting the vegetables?
No.
Yeah, that is quite sweet, isn't it?
Okay, move on to the next one.
That looks very similar though to that one.
Does.
This is like a greeny.
I mean, they're all. I went for green ones. So
greeny brown.
Fair,
yeah.
So these are all marketed as green vegetables.
That tastes very similar. I can't taste any vegetable in that one.
That just tastes like fruit.
Yeah. That's what I mean, yeah.
And so
that's again like apple-y pear kind of.
You guys have admitted that you don't, well, apart from yourself, that you don't taste the baby food.
Yeah.
So you're assuming
yeah.
that they're eating this wonderful broccolis or whatever it is, vegetables that they're supposed to be. But actually, what are they tasting?
Yeah, that's just like...
And so it's no wonder that when you try to get them to eat broccoli at home...
Okay.
So there's
they're not into it. What's the prime... What do they say is the primary... Just one of the ingredients in that?
Broccoli.
Right, there's no broccoli. I can't taste any broccoli in that. That's just pure apple.
And that one...
Supposedly.
Green vegetables.
Green vegetables.
From spring.
Well, it is green. Right, this is a bit more chunky.
Yeah, this is one of ours. This is a curry one. So you should have like a bit of coconut. You should have a bit of spice. That's the Kerala curry that one.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice. You put a bit of chilli in that.
Mmm.
You have that with a bit of naan bread.
That's delicious.
That is well nice.
You could just eat that watching the football, couple of beers.
There we go.
Do you know what? I'd love to come back because our stage threes are obviously more chunky and it is like a real curry. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm 100% a convert.
Really?
I want to go... Yeah, I want to go.
You
want to
go back?
Deep.
You want to go
maybe face first?
Wow! For you,
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Liza will have to wait.
Yeah.
What's important is it isn't actually about how much fruit or how much sugar there. It's about this is your developing their taste buds, and so it's not actually about the apple. You know, they're not going to get fat from eating this. You're not going to have an obese child from eating this. But what you are going to do is you're developing their taste buds to have a preference for sweet. As soon as you go down that road, you know, later on in life, it's harder and harder to get them to start making the good choices that we need to make. And then what happens is we start then campaigning, you know, in schools about healthier dinners. But you've lost the battle if already your kids have this preference for sweet. So why don't you start a bit earlier? Why don't we start campaigning to make baby food healthier?
Hey, I've got some dad tech here.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Dad tech.
It's dad tech time. Papa's got a brand new bag. So this one, I mean, I thought was quite relevant to this week's guest, Tom Redwood, and the whole baby weaning. I mean, it's nothing to do with that, to be fair, but I thought it was quite relevant. It's from babybanana.com.
Okay.
Do you know about this?
No.
Right, okay. So what it is, it's like a toothbrush for babies.
Right.
I'm not selling it very well. I'll read what they say. They said, we didn't invent the toothbrush. We made it safer. So basically, it stems from... this is what they say on the website. In 2001, a happy blonde-haired toddler was chewing on his toothbrush, as toddlers often do. While running, he suddenly fell, and the hard plastic toothbrush impaled the roof of his mouth,
Jesus.
Puncturing the soft palate
is
tissue.
Is this on the... Hang on.
This is on their website.
Fucking hell.
I mean, the injury could have been fatal, and injuries like it are the leading cause of children under two visiting the emergency room.
Wow. The leading...
Apparently, yeah, like this. They'd be quite vague about it. But basically, what they've done is they've made it in the shape of a banana. So the kid can kind of get used to food.
Yeah.
And get used to, and it's got bristles on it on the end. So it kind of rubs. So they get used to kind of the idea of brushing your teeth. And it's like rubber bristles, I should say. It's all like in one thing.
What age is this from?
So that one is, this is sort of toddlerish for infants to 12 months.
So series one.
Yeah, I guess so. Toddlers.
Yeah.
But I got sent these and I tried it out with Matilda and she loves it. She just chews on it and it's kind of like, it's good for teething as well.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You can put them in the freezer and you can put them there. Dishwasher friendly. So you keep them sterile. And then they do other ones. So like a sharky infant toothbrush, which is in the shape of a shark. And this is infants to 24 months. And you can put a little strap on it and they can just, you know, they just chew on it and it's kind of, these ones here, look, the bristles on that one are a little bit more fine. So they're a bit more like a toothbrush.
Right.
You'll see. Sorry, I should have taken out the packet there. And then they do older ones, which I don't have, which are more like actual toothbrushes.
Right. Okay.
But it's like an elephant's holding it with its trunk, but it's bendy. So if you were to fall and slip, it would just bend backwards sort of thing. So yeah. So basically, hang on, I'll get the info up. Bear with me. And they're $8.95.
$8.95.
And you can get them at www.baby-banana.com. And I think they've won a ton of awards as well.
Does Matilda have teeth yet?
That's a good point, actually. She got her first one.
She's got her first one?
Yeah. The other day.
Okay.
We can now see it. So we could feel it for a bit.
Yeah.
And now we can see it. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think it's quite good to get in there early with a toothbrush.
Yeah, I think so. It just
like
kind of, just
not, you know, like, you know, vigorously brushing, but just to get the sensation of having a
get them
brush.
Used to have like bristles on their gums and stuff. So when you come to train them to use a toothbrush, they've been doing it for.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's good. I don't know how dad techie is, but I think it's quite fun. It's the kind of thing you want to get them doing, and I'd be totally up for Matilda just carrying this around and playing with it. So that's www.baby-banana.com.
Okay, so that's it for this most recent episode of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the Fatherhood podcast. Okay, well, I think that about wraps it up. Okay, well, then let's wrap it up there. Well, I think that probably about wraps up the conversation for today. Okay, that's it for this episode. So, thank you, everyone. We're going to wrap it up there. All right, let's wrap things up there. Tom Redwood, thank you so, so much for coming to speak with us about your delicious baby foods.
Thank you for having me.
Where's the best... What's your website and the best place to kind of... I know you said...
Babies, which is spelled B-A-B-E-A-S-E, .co, just .co, so www.babies.co. We're kind of leading the way, a bit edgy.
I didn't know you could have them.
Yeah, we're a small startup, so we're kind of owning the .co. But you can find us in most Tesco's. So we actually had the biggest launch that Tesco's have done. We had 12 products that were launched on Tesco's 12 months ago. But then you can also find us in Boots, Amazon, on Ocado, and then lots of independents around London. And then hopefully some more stores coming soon.
And very quickly, what's your favourite flavour that you do, would you say?
No.
If people are going to try one for the first time.
Annoyingly, do you know what the bolognese that we've kind of... Yeah. That really smashes it. You know, it tastes as good as Mama makes it.
Thank you, Jamie.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners.
As always.
Yeah, and just, you know, obviously continue to download, listen, share, like, review.
Rate. Tell your friends.
All of that stuff. Tell your friends and your family.
Yep. And you can find us on social media at Good Dad Ugly on Twitter and Instagram. Come say hi. And Facebook as well, obviously.
And Facebook.
Obviously. Wicked. Cheers.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.